Hey,
I want to share with you an article that I read this last week as we head into the message today. John Reinhart is the person who wrote it, founder of Gospel Patrons, and their mission is to encourage business people to utilize their leverage to bring about great movements of God in the world. And so that's kind of their organization's motivation, or his organization's motivation. This is the article that he wrote recently. More will make you happier. This is what our world preaches. Bigger, better, faster, and newer is apparently the path to happiness. But if you've traveled to a third world country, you've likely seen very poor people who are happier than everyone in your neighborhood. Why? Because the truth is the opposite of what we've been told. The real connection between money and happiness is not between having and happiness, it's between giving and happiness. We see this in the lives of the very first Christians. Acts 2 tells us they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts. These early believers focused more on giving than having. They proved what my friend Todd Harper often says, "I've never met an unhappy, generous person." Generosity and joy go together. Christianity, at its core, is good news. And this good news is of a generous God who has done something we never could have imagined he would do. He has given something we never would have dared to ask for. God is the greatest of patrons. He's the giver of every good gift. He's the generous father who accepts prodigal sons and proud older brothers. He paid our ransom with the precious blood of Christ. God is the grace giver, not demanding we earn our salvation, but freely giving it instead. To be a Christian means you've received the generous love of God poured out in Jesus. To live as a Christian means you respond to God's gift by living to share Jesus with the world. What if we were the generation to recapture our faith in a generous God and begin to live it out? What if we each ask God to give us a heartbeat of generosity like his? It's time we see God again for who he is and learn to live with his joy and generosity. So we've been in this series for a number of weeks now called This Is Us. And we're talking about things that are supposed to mark us as followers of Jesus. So we've touched on five different things so far. First of all, that our focus is Jesus. Right? He is the focus of our life. He wants to be the focus of everyone's life. And he is the focus of the unfolding story of God in the world. We talked about how the gospel is central. That when it comes to the gospel, it's something we need to receive for ourselves. The good news that Jesus died, gave his life for us on the cross. That he rose from the dead and offers us forgiveness and eternal life. The gospel is central. It's something we need to receive, and it's something we need to share with others. So our focus is Jesus. The gospel is central. Third thing was we are a family, which means we need each other for encouragement, love, and support, but we also need to pursue one another because we have a tendency to run when things get difficult. But we're a family. That was the third thing. The fourth thing is we is greater than me. That there's something that happens when we work together to accomplish any purpose, that the work that we look to accomplish is not just added up, but somehow it's exponential. It multiplies itself. That there is a greater thing that we can accomplish when we have a perspective that the whole of us, is greater than me. And then last week we talked about worship as a lifestyle. That passage that Bob read talks about us being a living sacrifice, that is the kind of worship that is acceptable to God. And that makes sense, right? We sacrifice our lives. We give our lives, and in doing so, we are worshiping God fully. Our worship should be a lifestyle, not a music choice, not a music style or preference, but a lifestyle. So those are the five things we've talked about so far. We've got a couple more things to go, but this week's big idea is generosity is normal. Generosity is normal, or at least it's supposed to be. Now, maybe when I was reading that article at the start to kind of intro this thing, you were thinking, man, dragged myself out of bed, I stumbled into the shower, I got myself dressed, I bundled up in what is turning out to be a very cold winter, ridiculously cold. It was probably still dark outside at the time, and I fought all the Sunday morning traffic, which is horrible here, so I could get to church. And then, of all the things Eric could talk about, he's going to talk about money. I'm leaving, right? Well, okay, and then inside you go, well, actually, I'm not leaving because that would be rude. And besides, it's still cold outside, so I'll just stay, but I'm not going to listen or I'm not going to like it. Well, I want to tell you this morning is not about money, per se. It's about generosity. And you might be thinking, well, that's like splitting hairs because pretty much giving, generosity, same thing, right? It's pretty much the same thing. No, they're actually not. In fact, the story that we're going to look at in just a moment here that we're going to start with this morning, we're going to see that giving and generosity are something very, very different, at least in this story. So here's the scene. Jesus had come to Jerusalem. It was just before he went to the cross. And he spent a few days teaching in the temple area. And again, this is just before he was arrested and then eventually put to death. While he was there, we read about this happening. So Mark chapter 12, verses 41 through 44. And the texts for today are all going to be up on the screen because we're jumping around a bit this morning. So here's the story. And he, Jesus, sat down opposite the treasury and watched the people putting money into the offering box. Many rich people put in large sums. And a poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which make a penny. And he called his disciples to him and said, truly, I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the offering box. For they all contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on. Pretty short story, but pretty powerful. There's a lot of significant things in this very short story. Like, you may notice that this story tells us something that God sees what we give. I mean, Jesus went there and looked intentionally to see what people were putting in. It matters to him. It matters to God. You may catch from this story that giving is for everyone, not just the wealthy. Right? Being poor doesn't mean you shouldn't give. This woman was poor. But Jesus didn't tell his disciples, look at this woman, she foolishly gave her money to God, even though she barely has anything to live on. He didn't go up to her and say, well, you should have kept that money for yourself. God knows you're poor, and he doesn't really expect you to give anything. That's just for wealthy people. No, he commended her for her giving. You may pull out of it this, that giving of our need somehow counts as giving more. Right? Jesus didn't say this woman gave proportionately more, which she did. She gave a greater percentage of what she had. He didn't say, well, that was like a better offering. No, he just counted her giving as more. She gave more, he said. So all those things are true, but what I really hope that you'll see in this story is this. Everyone was giving, but only this widow was being generous. She's the only one who is commended as generous. There may be other things about this passage that we could pull out, but that is the thing I hope that we'll see. And if that's true, that means this. Giving is not the same as generosity. Right? Again, everyone was giving. She was generous. Jesus pointed out the people who gave larger amounts, but it was out of their abundance. She didn't seem to qualify as generous to him, but she gave out of her need, and Jesus commended her for it. In fact, it's the only time that I can recall, and there may be others, but it's the only time I can recall off the top of my head where Jesus commended anyone for their generosity. And what was it she gave? What amount did she give? It wasn't about the amount, although he knew the amount. It was that she gave everything she had. Everything she had. Right? We just sang a song about pouring out our life. It's about giving everything that we have to the Lord. And that's what she did. Now, we often say things like, well, he gave everything he had. Or she gave every last penny. Or they gave 100%, or maybe even 110%. When we say that, it's usually a metaphor that is referring to someone who goes above and beyond what's required. Jesus wasn't speaking about her money, though, metaphorically here. It was literally everything she had. It was her very last penny. It was 100%. And yet she gave it to the Lord. She was putting her trust and her care in God's provision, and she put it all into God's hands. So everyone was giving, but only she was generous, was called generous. God expects us to give to his purposes and to help those in need. Right? Like, I probably don't need to go into great theological depth and detail to convince you of that. Right? We probably all kind of get that. But when we give, what he wants is for us to be generous. That's the spirit. That's the idea that we're going to see in this next passage, 2 Corinthians chapter 8. It's Paul writing here to the church in Corinth. He points out the generosity of some of the other churches and basically challenges the church at Corinth to, hey, let's step up in this area. And here's what he said, 2 Corinthians 8, 1 through 7. We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty, note that, extreme poverty, have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. He's commending them for their generosity. For they gave according to their means, and as I can testify, beyond their means, of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. And this, not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then by the will of God to us. Accordingly, we urge Titus that as he had started, so he should complete this act of grace or among you, complete among you this act of grace. But as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all earnestness, and in our love for you, see that you excel in this act of grace also. This act of grace was about giving. What was he calling them to do? To excel. In other words, to be generous. To be generous. This is the heart of things when it comes to giving or generosity. God wants us to be generous. Now, let's consider, why does he want us to do that? Why would God want us to live that way? And I'm gonna kind of not really spill the beans, but I'm going to just tell you that, again, this is not going to be just about money, and we'll see that in a bit. But why does he want us to be generous? Let's think about that. First of all, generosity reflects his heart. Generosity reflects his heart. God is a generous God. And he wants us to be like him so others will know about his great love, so they will know what he is like. This passage from Romans chapter 8, verse 32, talking about God, it says, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Right? God the Father couldn't have given us anything more significant than what he did. He gave his very own son who died for us. God is this generous God, and he wants us to be like him in this. 2 Corinthians 8, 8 through 9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, by his poverty, might become rich. Right? Jesus stepped out of eternity into our world. He was rich, became poor for our benefit. Our generosity towards his purposes then, toward those in need, reflect what he did for us. Okay? So when we're generous, it reflects his heart. The second thing is that generosity reframes our own heart. Generosity reframes our own heart. It like gets our heart to where it's supposed to be. How many of you how many of you like the gushy Hallmark movies? A lot of ladies' hands going up, not so many guys, right? Except for Bob. Now look, they are cheesy. They are sappy. They're all lovey-dovey, right? And you know in the first 5 minutes that these two are going to get together and it's going to be love happily ever after. You know this. Can I suggest something? I think one of the reasons people, and maybe especially women, I don't know, but I think one of the reasons people who love these movies is because it reminds them of the kind of love that they long for. Right? It's the kind of love that we feel like we want from others. So guys, maybe one of the reasons you should watch these movies is so that it can be a serious reminder of how like unemotional and loveless and inexpressive you generally are in your love for your wife or your significant other. You watch the movies, it might do your heart a little bit of good. I mean, honestly, I do find that. I'm like, oh, that was so cheesy. Right? You watch something like that, it reframes your heart a little bit. And I think generosity does that for us in our life as well. Right? It's good for us to do this. Matthew 6:19, Jesus talking here says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be." Right? Generosity, it like gets us focused on the right thing, on the right things. It reframes our heart. Okay, here's the third thing. And I want to apologize in advance to Rachel because I may jump around in the order here, so sorry. The third thing is generosity requires our trust. Generosity requires our trust. I'm going to go right to 2 Corinthians 9, verse 10. Paul writing here says, "He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness." So God has given you, get the picture here, he's saying God has given you the seed that you sow. He's given you the bread you have. When you sow that into others, you kind of release it, right? But then what you're going to receive is, wow, kind of this increase. He's going to multiply your seed and increase your harvest. Says. Translated, take what God has given you and be generous with it. And when you trust him with that, because you can't take the seed and release it without trusting something good's going to happen, right? If you just release it and nothing happens, it's like, well, I guess that was wasted. But when you release it, you trust that he's going to do something great with it. And it says, he will multiply. He will increase the harvest of your righteousness. Right? So when we give in this way, it's an act of faith. It takes trust. It requires our trust. So generosity requires our trust. But also, and here's the next thing, generosity results in blessing. Right? We just saw that in that verse. God will increase. God will multiply. Generosity results in blessing. God has a way of blessing us in response to our generosity. And Scripture affirms that. Here's three passages, real quick. Proverbs 11, verse 24. "One gives freely, yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give and only suffers want. Whoever brings blessings will be enriched, and the one who waters will himself be watered. Luke 6:38, give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. 2 Corinthians 9:6, Paul writes, the point is this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will reap bountifully. So you know that expression, what you reap is what you sow? That's pretty much what he's saying, right? He's talking about generosity. He's talking about generosity. Be generous and you'll reap generosity yourself. I think typically if you ask anyone who has committed their life toward generous living, giving towards God's purposes and helping those in need, they will tell you about how God has blessed them in response. They will have stories. They will. Sometimes the blessing is actually financial. Sometimes it comes in other ways. I remember a very specific time where really felt like God was challenging me to give far above and beyond what I had ever done before. I didn't even know how that was going to work. I didn't know how that was going to happen. It was funny because as Sherry and I talked about it and prayed about it, like she had a number in mind and I had a number in mind and my number was higher than hers, and I was tempted to go, well, let's go with yours then. That'll be easier. But we decided we felt like God was saying, yeah, let's do this. I had no idea how that was going to happen. A couple of years later, I went, wow, he has blessed us in ways I never expected, and this was not even a problem for him. It really wasn't. God came through like he promised. I think when it comes to giving to the Lord, many people are hesitant because they have to give up something. You don't know how the numbers are going to work. But God has a way of coming through when we are faithfully being generous with what he asks us to. And I'm going to take a risk here and ask for a show of hands. I know that there are a few people who are here that would be putting their hand up in answer to this question, but with those who are here, I want to ask this. How many of you have experienced this, where you stepped out in faith to a deeper level of generosity in some way and saw God come through to provide? Right? Yeah. We see that all the time. Generosity results in blessing. Now, that doesn't mean we should give so that we get. That's not like a new kind of pyramid scheme or something like that. Right? Oh, I'll just give away more money and then I'll get more money. That's not it. But we can expect that God will bless us as a result of our faithfulness, as a result of our generosity. Okay? So enough on that. Last one. Generosity. I struggle with how to say this, but generosity releases our grip. Like, we're always grasping for things that in the grand scheme of things really don't matter. But generosity helps us reach for what's really important. In Deuteronomy 15, it paints this picture of how the people are supposed to act, and here's the instruction. If among you one of your brothers should become poor in any of your towns within your land that the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not harden your heart or shut your hand against your poor brother, but you shall open your hand to him and lend him sufficient for his need, whatever it may be. It's about being generous. It's about being generous. It releases our grip. But generosity is more than just about the financial part. These passages here, this tells us, you know, that we should, this one that's coming up talks about us giving what is needed. And actually this one here, whatever is needed, it says give whatever is sufficient for his need, whatever it may be. That doesn't necessarily mean it has to be finances. We're called to serve others as well. Right? That means we need to be generous there too. And in serving others, that incorporates a whole lot of ideas. Like, first of all, we have to be generous with our time. Right? We need to keep ourselves available to the Lord for how he might want to use us or who he might want us to connect with. If we can't give him our time, we won't be able to serve him. If we fill our time with all the stuff we want to do, we won't have anything left for God to allow him to use us in those moments. We should also be generous with our energy, right? Like, it takes a little bit of energy to do something like snowblow your elderly neighbor's driveway or mow their lawn or help them clean out the gutters, prepare a meal for someone. It takes some energy to do these types of things. Helping out at the church, it doesn't matter what it is, we have to be generous with our energy. We should be generous with our thoughts and emotions. Might think that's a little weird, but I was thinking about this, like, look, we need to be willing to connect with people who need us to challenge them, perhaps, to disciple them, perhaps, to care for them or counsel them. That takes our thought. It takes our emotions. You can't do that without thinking about the people that you are caring for. You can't do that without having a part of you hurt for those who are hurting, right? But we should be generous with our thoughts and our emotions. We should be generous with our words, right? Especially our kind words, if I could put a plug in for that, right? We should go out of our way to encourage each other. We should be willing to speak truth, but only in a way that is loving and is motivated by love. We should be striving to share the gospel message with those who need to hear it. Okay? So we need to be generous with our giving, but also in serving others as well. When we do these things, we start to let go of what really doesn't matter and hold on to what does. Right? It releases our grip. Here's 1 Timothy 6:18. It says, they are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, right? So there's the serving, the good works, there's the finances, generous and ready to share. Thus, storing up treasure for themselves is a good foundation for the future, so they may take hold of that which is truly life. Now think about that. You're letting go of something you need to let go of so that you can take hold of that which is truly life. That's the picture. And what are those things? Be rich in good works, be generous and ready to share. So there's something about us being generous, yes, with our finances, but also in serving others. Now, I think it's important, and I do want to say this, it doesn't mean we can just be generous in serving and then like neglect the financial or the other way around. I had a friend who was always saying something like, well, I don't give much money, but I try to give a lot of my time. And I wanted to say, great, at least that's one area of your life you're willing to follow Jesus in. Right? One area was surrendered to Jesus, the other was not. As we close today, can I challenge you with the idea of generosity, both giving and serving, right? And as we do this, Bobby, yeah, you can come up and worship team can come up. We're going to close in a worship song. But let me ask you just a couple of questions. And I want you to take this last one, this idea of releasing your grip, and maybe use that as a picture. Let me ask you this, when it comes to giving and serving in your life, what is it you're holding on to that maybe you need to let go of, that you need to release your grip? What is it that you're valuing more than Jesus? Is it your money? Is it your time and energy? Is it your thoughts and emotions? Is it your safety and security? And if it is, are you willing to open up your hand, to kind of loosen your grip a little bit, to release your grip, to turn it over to him and let go of that? Why? So that you can grab onto what truly matters, so that you can grab onto that, as was written to Timothy, that which is truly life. That's what he longs for us in regards to generous hearts. Let's take a moment. We're going to pray, and then we have one more worship song to close with. Lord God, we understand that you long for us to give and to serve. But more significantly than that, you want us to be generous in those things. You want us to have generous hearts that reflect your heart, that are framed properly in our lives, that are chasing after the right things, that aren't holding on to things that we aren't supposed to, but are willing to let them go, to cling to the things, to chase after the things that really matter in your heart. While that's not easy for us to do, it's what you want for us, because you know that in that we'll be truly blessed. And so these things that are maybe stirring in our heart this morning, whether it comes to the giving or the serving, or maybe a little of both, we want to offer to you. The things that we are stuck on, we want to release to you. And the things that we need to cling on to, we want to grab a hold of. We ask for you to help us to do that. Help us to see it clearly. Help us to have a heart that longs to be generous like you were generous to us, not holding back anything. Your only son you gave us as a sacrifice on the cross. What else more could you give than the most incredible gift of all? You are such a generous God toward us. Help us to live like you. And we know that's what you want from us. Give us the strength to do that. We lift these things up, knowing that you know the intricacies of our hearts and the struggles we have, the places we're resistant and the places that we want to give over to you, but we just have struggled to do it. And we pray for you to have that space. We want to pour out our life and give to you these things so that we can have a generous heart like yours. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the podcast of the Portico Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. You can find out more about our church at porticocommunity.com.